This is a Beyond Casterbrews podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrews.com.
I thought we could just give a very quick sort of say about Richard Hatch. But do you see he passed away yesterday? From Battlestar Galactica, though people might not. Actually, from Battlestar Galactica, he was Captain Apollo in the original series, in the sort of 78 series. And
you know
he
what?
Was Tom Zarek.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I didn't even... This is one of the few celebrity deaths where people sharing photos of the actor on Facebook, I didn't get that the guy died. I didn't read. I just saw his picture. And I know that he does a lot of fan films. Or he has been in a fair few amount of fan films. So I had assumed they were just saying he was being in fan films. I've kind of been like on and off of Facebook and not really reading things. So no, I didn't actually realize he had died. Wow.
Yes, no, he's passed away. Pancreatic cancer. He was 71. So, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I thought you'd have spotted that because it's been...
Ordinarily, yeah. I probably would, but this one did miss me, yeah.
Yes, which is... Again, you know, I know we've suddenly become very trendy about talking about the deaths of celebrities at the moment. But this was one that sort of kind of hit me a bit. So I kind of thought, just thought we would mention it, since I think a lot of the people listening to this would be aware of it as well. I'm going to read this out because it's probably easier and actually gives some structure to this podcast. I wrote this on Facebook earlier today. A few years back, I had the unusual opportunity to be in Atlanta for their fabled Sweatfest Dragon Con. My memory is profoundly awful outside things that don't directly involve me, which I'm afraid is very true. Aside from observing a guy dressed as a sort of skinny tick, assuming that he and his nearly dressed cosplayed superhero girlfriend were being snapped because the photographer was impressed with his blue leotard costume, I don't remember much about the convention apart from Richard Hatch. He did a talk there, which felt so kind of misplaced at the fan convention, because it was almost like one of those self-help talks where, you know, you'd have the guy on the stage and he'll try and encourage probably to sell a book or something. I don't remember whether Richard was selling or anything or not, but he was a very animated and charismatic and sort of life encouraging talk. But what was interesting about it for me was I kind of got the impression that Richard Hatch was closer to his Battlestar Galactica Tom Zarek character than he was to Captain Apollo. There was not, you know, that he was a sort of murderous political agitator, but he was sort of a sort of complex man. He understood that life was complex and challenging and sort of needed to be managed proactively. And I sort of could have imagined Zarek offering this sort of similar performance on the Galactica. Only difference being that sort of the numbers entering the hall would have been tallied slightly less than those leaving it, which these days probably wouldn't seem too shocking. I met Hatch after and I sort of had a chat with him, but I don't actually remember much of the conversation. But I thought it was kind of cool, and I'm trying to think, we've had this in Doctor Who, to be honest, not in the same thing, but certainly with Colin Baker and his Big Finish, Sylvester and Paul McGann and Big Finish, where you sort of have earlier careers can be sort of reinvigorated by later stuff. And his stuff as Tom Zarek in Battlestar Galactica sort of gave him a new sort of a more of a critical appreciation for his acting work that a hero like Captain Apollo really didn't, like sort of Chekhov and Bester for Walter Koenig. I sort of was saying that, you know, I think there's sort of like a little bit of Zarek in Hatch, or maybe a little Hatch in Zarek. And I just think it's kind of cool when you get these actors, sort of staying away from his death, but when you get actors where they get that opportunity to show what they're really made of, where they don't get that opportunity before. Like I say, with Doctor Who, you might be able to argue that a bit with Colin Baker, whose scripts were pretty terrible and his time wasn't particularly revered. And yet his Big Finish plays, and some are considered, as we've said before, some of the best of the range.
Sure.
I mean, okay, he's playing the same character, but it's nice when you get that with actors, where they get that opportunity, and I think Hatch had that opportunity.
You know, I have to be honest, like, I don't know much of his work, although I feel like a complete idiot. I didn't even realize he was in an episode of MacGyver. I'm going to watch that later.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know. But I did just earlier in the year, and I think I told you this. Earlier last year, I watched the whole Battlestar Galactica, the original series, and I have to be honest and say I enjoy it more than the new series.
I can imagine that with you.
Yeah, I liked the characters. I liked the stories. I think there's a difference to storytelling from, you know, we'll even bring this to Doctor Who. It's classic Doctor Who with Battlestar Galactica in what was that, the 70s, 80s?
Yeah, 70s.
And then with now. And like now, there's always a heavy focus on personal character drama. And it's not like they didn't have that in the past. They certainly, I mean, like if you look at Battlestar Galactica, Apollo's character fell in love with the medicine woman, whose name is completely escaping me right now. Dr. Quinn, medicine woman. Oh, what is her name? She's even in James Bond.
Seymour. Jane Seymour.
Thank you. Jane Seymour. Yeah. And, you know, through that, he had gained a child. He had a brother that he had lost in the first episode, a father in the story. There was a best friend that was constantly getting him in trouble. And it was a little bit more almost in a sense, kind of a buddy comedy at times, but still also a serious drama about people trying to survive.
So this is I recorded a podcast with John Muir, which is to go under the umbrella of Casterbrus, which we recorded in the before the new year, and I've still not got round to sorting it out and giving it even a bloody name. And we talked a little about Larson and all these sort of things. And it's kind of a shame. I think the problem with that Battlestar Galactica is that it's a great idea, and like so many of his shows, the pilots are really strong. And then you see the sort of conventions of television just slowly strip away from some of those sort of quality drama things, and you sort of lose them. But I think with things like Doctor Who in that sort of era and Battlestar Galactica, and where I think it suits you, is that I get the impression from television that there's a certain amount of escapism that you like. You're not actually looking for reflections on society, cultural politics. You're sort of looking for something which you can just enjoy and just free your mind to almost. Is that unfair or is that?
No. That's very true. Like, I've said quite often that actually a lot of people, when they want to have certain movies about certain things, you know, I like space. I like modern day adventures with James Bond, the X-Files, FBI, paranormal, whatever kind of stuff. Too many people want to bring reality too closely into it, to the point where the escape from reality is no longer present in what film basically originally was, an escape from reality. It was go for a couple, you know, an hour or two, or an hour of TV, half an hour of TV, and forget your troubles for a little bit while you're watching it. Have a little bit of fun. And that's why I do like the shows that I like. And that's not to say that I don't like shows that have a heavier focus or movies that have a heavier focus, but they're definitely not something that I lean toward more so. So, yeah, having something like Battlestar Galactica, the original, or even classic Doctor Who, I like the fact that they can focus on the adventure, still throw in danger, but maybe it's a little over the top danger. So, you know, it's meant to be danger and they have to solve the problem, and you know they're going to solve the problem and walk away at the end of the day. But I don't care. I'm having fun with those characters, and that's what I want to have, is fun with those characters. So I'm not overly fond of character deaths, as some people are, as some TV shows are. I just like to enjoy the adventure. So yeah, I think that's a fair analogy for sure.
No, I can understand that. I mean, I like both. I find the original Battlestar, I have a lot of fond memories for it. I think you can just have some very straightforward fun with it. I think it is terrible in areas, really terrible, especially later on, the back end of the season, some absolutely awful stuff. But I can sort of see why people can sit on both camps. And I love what they did in the remake, but I still have a lot of love for the original. But yeah, it's a shame that Richard Hatch has passed away. 71 still seems young to me. Someone I saw on Twitter on Facebook sort of went, 71? But that's not young. And I was thinking, you get to 41, mate. And then you'll suddenly think that 71 does seem young.
It's funny because when you said 71, my first thought, like you, was that's not old. Mm. But my second thought was, he's not that old.
Yeah, it's a funny, we have a funny mix, don't we, now, of, I don't know whether that's us getting older or whether we're just seeing things differently, or whether culturally we're seeing things differently. I don't know. But yeah, 71, it was a shame. He seemed quite fit. He was very animated when I saw him.
That's crazy. That means Dirk Benedict is also 71. Jeez, that's, I don't picture these people being that age. I mean, like I don't think age is different now than it was.
Yeah, maybe so.
Certainly some people can be 71 very old, and some people can be 71 very young. You know, it all just depends on your lifestyle, your health, and so on. But the other day I had the realization it's 2017, and in a couple of years it's going to be 2020. We're going to be in the roaring 20s again. And then I thought, man, I remember when, you know, the Y2K was a thing, when we just became the new century, when it became the year 2000, and soon that's going to be 20 years ago.
I know, don't.
Yeah, it's just so strange, you know? It's so strange. But, you know, I mean, this is the one thing that, you know, unfortunately, with actors like Richard Hatch and John Hurt, people are starting in on something that I think devalues the memory of the actor, or devalues the situation. Okay, these people have died. They passed away. Last year, my grandmother passed away as one of the last people of 2016 on New Year's Eve. And my thought process on everything, I was already disliking it, but my thought process had hit a different plateau there. And I thought, all year long throughout 2016, whenever a celebrity would die, people would get on Facebook or social media and say, F you 2016, this year sucks. Why are you going to take another one 2016? And it's like, can we stop blaming an arbitrary number for the death of people? Like, people get old and they will die. People will get illnesses and they will die. It is very sad, and it should be very sad. And that's what we should be remembering, the life of these people, and the fact that they were taken too early from us, not a comedic meme about people dying because of the number of a year. You know, it's already started with 2017 from the few celebrity deaths that we've had this year. I don't partake in them. I'm kind of sick of them. And maybe other people disagree. Maybe it helps them cope. I don't know. But I just sit there and I think, when I see a celebrity death, probably the reason that I missed Richard Hatch is because I didn't immediately see somebody post FU 2017, you know? It's probably why that one slipped past me. But I just feel that somebody like Richard Hatch with his career, somebody like John Hurt with his career, Mary Tyler Moore and her career, there's so much more to celebrate there than to sit there and just make a post about how angry you are at the year. Talk about something else that these people have done. My wife and I are watching the Dick Van Dyke Show. And just by chance watching the show, not even because Mary Tyler Moore had passed away, a friend of ours was telling us how much they were watching it and how much the comedy has held up all these years. And we thought, you know what? I could go for that. And it does. It's just simple, clean humor. It's funny. It really holds up. And it's great to see her. She's a joy to watch. So is Dick Van Dyke in this show. And that's what I think we should be doing, you know, celebrating what they've given us, no matter who they are. So I don't know. I don't think I've had an outlet for my annoyance at the whole FU 2016 or 2017 thing. And now I have, and I've got it out and I feel great.
I know what you mean. It's one of those funny things where I can sort of understand there's a few people I noticed starting to get a bit fed up with the, oh my God, 2016, you know, fuck you 2016. And yeah. I kind of got it in a way. I could understand there was a sort of way of how we do compartmentalize naturally by birthdays and Christmas. We compartmentalize periods. And over this period, there seemed to be a lot of people from probably our group, our generation, whatever generation we are, if we're still classified as X, who were seeing their sort of people pass away that they knew. Yet at the same time, I get totally what you mean, that there's this sort of feeling that it devalues that person, that it becomes part of this sort of discourse on sort of on media and on our reactions. It's about us, not about them. It's like they're just another keg being loaded onto the truck that we're just annoyed about. Another toxic keg being loaded on the truck. Right. You know, it's not about them. It's the fact there's just so many of them and how it's affecting us. You know, what's happening to my childhood? You're taking them all away from me. You're thinking, these are actually people. These are people with families. And they people are genuinely hurting. And you're not seeming able to disassociate the fact that this is something real with the fact that someone's just taken away your toy, almost.
Right.
And yet, at the same time, people like Leia, because people, you know, often mourning Leia than Carrie Fisher, to, you know, Leia was something to them. As it is to, you know, as people are to us, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the Brigadier to us is perhaps more real to us than the neighbour down the street, because we know more about the Brigadier, we've seen more of the Brigadier. He's had more of an emotional impact on us than a real person. So there is all that. But anyway, sorry.
Yes. No, I will say that when Carrie Fisher passed away, when Leonard Nimoy passed away, and probably even David Bowie when he passed away, They were a few of the times where I did see people really celebrating not only their life's work, but, you know, characters that they portrayed or music in the case of David Bowie, as well as characters that he portrayed. And that was great to see. And I just kind of wish that everybody would kind of get that same treatment. But I realized one of the other things that kind of didn't sit well with me was not only just, you know, this person died, F.U. 2017, you know, and then you forgot who the person is. It was kind of more so another awful thought. Surround this person because they're old. They're probably going to die. You know, like I saw a bunch of, you know, go protect, put a protection circle around Betty White or Tom Baker.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And it's like, do you really need to call out people just because they're old? And, you know, like that you're basically making my point for me that people get old and they will die. You know, Betty White and Tom Baker aren't going to be here forever. I wish them a very long life, and I really hope they are, and it's going to be a sad day when Tom Baker is not here to be my doctor. But, you know, it was really rude. It was a bit like, let's say Carrie Fisher passes away and somebody's posted, FU 2017, put a protection circle around Tom Baker. Well, what have you done for Carrie Fisher and her memory and her legacy? Granted, a lot of people did some great stuff for her. One of my friends wrote a really fantastic post about her and what Princess Leia meant to him and to the universe, and even Carrie Fisher with all of her work with mental health and so on. So there's a lot to be celebrated, and people did, thankfully, for a few of these celebrities. But I don't know. I've just – memes in general – okay, I first became aware of memes in 2005 when once the end of the world hit, and that episode had the adherence of the repeated meme. Yes. I had to look up what a meme was because apparently it was something, and I'm like, adherence of the repeated meme. So I looked it up, and then I realized what it was. And of course, it had already been a little something on the internet. But now it seems to be the internet.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And it's tiresome. Like, that guy sprinkling salt or whatever all over his steak. Like, I saw a little video, and I'm like, oh, this guy's funny. That's silly. Like, whatever, silly video. And then everything is somebody sprinkling salt on something, putting their head on his body, drawings of that. And it's just like, I don't think there's a more instant way to kill the joy of something than a repeated meme.
Yes.
And then when you turn a celebrity's death into a repeated meme, it's the same thing.
Yeah, well, I thought that when John Hurt died, my first thought was, I can't stand to see all these soppy eulogies and memes, more than memes, more than the sort of Facebook friends or cohorts. Whining, which perhaps shows my opinion, feeling upset over the death of John Hurt. I think, I can't stand the thought of all these memes that will come up of him looking glorious as the doctor and all the other doctors looking sad around him and this, you know, some, you know, I just can't stand it. You know, I don't like, and again, it's nothing about how people feel. They're all entitled to feel as they want. And that is the nature of social media. And if you don't like it, then, you know, you can adjust your settings. But there is just that feeling of, you know, it's such a sort of, it feels like a, I don't know. It's like, it feels, to go back to Doctor Who, like the Zorbalof. It feels like just sort of sucking in other people into your own gestalt bubble. and it becoming part about you rather than me. And I suppose we all do it. I mean, like I say, I put that post up that I sort of half read out on Tom Zarek. So, you know, Apollo, and I don't tend to do that. And yeah, so in a sense, we all to some degree do own a little bit of it, and we do talk because people are talking about it, they want to talk about it.
Yeah,
there is a bit of that. I know. I don't know. I don't know where the middle ground is, but yeah, memes are something which I don't think is really. It's like Twitter, really. I think the problem with life is that it's very complex, and I think memes and tweets have a tendency, obviously, to truncate issues or truncate ideas to very simplistic points of view, which never really do the point of view justice. And when we start having everything as being such simple sound bites, the depth and complexity is perhaps lost. And maybe to some degree, that is where the power of more binary behavior on the internet and, you know, and lack of sympathy and lack of consideration has come from lack of empathy, is because we're just sort of so used to everything being simplified when nothing ever is. So I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, I honestly, I know some memes certainly can be celebratory. They can help enhance the fun of something. It's everything in moderation is kind of the thing. But once what you're doing makes the sad thing become a joke, or even a good thing become too much.